episode 15. Welcome to episode 15 of Thinking Habits Podcast. I'm really, really excited about this episode. It's something that I've been wanting to do for quite a while now. Managed to get together with Dan from Tiny Epic Photos on Instagram. Not to give too much away about what he does and how he does it, because the interview goes into that, but what really drew me to want to speak to Dan was the way that he's taken a ostensibly very simple medium and done amazing things with it to highlight, amongst other things, mental health issues. For me, the whole point of doing this podcast is to try and, you know, obviously draw attention to mental health issues, but also exploring different ways in which people use the things around them or help to draw attention to mental health issues by using unconventional means or different media, different ideas, different ways of talking about it. And this is a perfect example of how that can work and how positive things can come from that. And I'm so glad for Dan that this has taken off, because I think it's something that deserves a lot more attention. So without any further ado, I'll go straight into the interview because I think you're going to absolutely love it. So I'll see you on the other side. Cheers. Dan, thank you so much for joining us. I know it's something we've been trying to get together for a little while. Really, really looking forward to having this chat about With Toys in Mind. Kicking it straight off, how did you get into sort of toy photography?
Well, toy photography, it was a sort of long and winding road that sort of got me here. But basically, after studying film production and animation and stuff at university and sort of going that route, I made a series of five films with a local production company, all focusing around photographers and how they perceive the power of photography and what it means to them. And that was my sort of first realization of you know, how powerful photography could be.
Yeah.
And what it could mean to other people.
Mm.
And there was a guy who is, you know, he goes to Syria, he talks to refugees, and himself has been affected by war, and you know, he lost three of his limbs a while back, and still goes out and he talks and tells these stories of people who have been affected by war.
Mm.
The next guy we saw and interviewed made this film about a guy who suffers with depression.
Yeah.
And suicidal thoughts and tendencies, and even has attempted suicide himself. And he talks about how photography saved his life, and if he didn't have the ability to take pictures, that maybe the worst would have happened to him. And you know, yeah, the process of taking pictures for him is something that helps him cope with his day to day. And then the next person, you know, the third person suffers with MS, and it was all about representing her sort of her feelings and how, because it being an invisible illness, you know, sort of the actual pain and suffering that gives her.
Mm.
And a guy who's also going blind, and you know, he will eventually lose his sight, but until then he wants to make the best photos he can.
Mm.
And the final fifth guy looks at the consequences of austerity in this country, and he photographs the people that are behind closed doors affected by benefit cuts and suffering through their own mental illnesses and various sort of alcoholism and drugs abuse and things like that, and the people who just aren't getting the help that they need, whether that be from, you know, just closing themselves off from society or whether society has rejected them. And all these films were just incredibly powerful when we put them all together, and you know, it really made me want to pick up a camera and find my own process. So I got into macro photography. Yeah. And you know, I would take pictures of flowers and insects, but British weather being British weather isn't always great.
No.
And also being a massive nerd, had a lot of Lego right lying around. So having studied film, sort of put these sets together and started experimenting with lighting and created sort of these cinematic images that I was, you know, quite proud of. And it instantly became quite addictive to sort of do this because it's quite simple, and it gave me quite a lot of joy and allowed me to sort of escape from, you know, my daily life and stresses. And, you know, I would put them online and quickly discover that there was this huge group of people all doing a very similar thing and, you know, creating great works of art.
You say there's a giant community. That's interesting because I've not seen anything of it at all until I saw yours and then followed that sort of fractal out.
It's this sort of niche little community that I've thousands of people based all over the world, mostly in sort of the west coast of America, and there's a huge following of people I've got from like Jakarta in Indonesia, where there's a giant community of toy photographers. But yeah, up until a year ago I didn't really know that existed.
I read your interview in with the Exclude Collective and talking about how this has helped you with your struggles with mental health. Are you okay to go into that a little bit?
So basically, as a teenager, you know, I recognize it now, I didn't then, but I suffered quite a bit with depression and anxiety. I used to isolate myself quite a lot because I wasn't happy in huge social situations and things like that. So I'd sort of separate myself off, and, you know, I never really felt happy in any group of people. And back then I put it just to being sort of a grumpy teenager, as, you know, I think we all did, you know, a huge, no one really had much awareness of it. Certainly as a teenager, it was, yeah, I'm just a grumpy teenager. I listen to Nirvana. Everyone, you know, all the music reflects how I'm feeling. You know, this is just a rite of passage. It wasn't until I got into my 20s that, you know, those feelings didn't really go away. You know, those hormones didn't balance out like I thought they would. And, you know, in my mid-20s, I went through quite a large relationship breakup. And my mental sort of health sort of deteriorated, and, you know, I sunk into quite a dark place. And, you know, thankfully I had a sort of a support network around me that sort of urged me to seek therapy. I saw an emotional therapist who really helped sort of just balance everything out and sort of go, you know, I would talk to her and she would like, well, okay, well, we'll work backwards and we'll talk through sort of your life and all the memorable things that have happened, good and bad, and we'll see, you know, we'll tie off those arcs and we'll figure out where your emotions and stuff are coming from. It was a really great way to sort of get through all those emotional frustrations and sort of undo a lot of the thinking that I'd grown up with.
So again, it's always interesting when I talk to people on the podcast how many things resonate with me. I was literally picturing myself in my early 20s in going through a very similar situation. It's fascinating.
It's definitely something that happens with a lot of young men, and certainly the more people I talk to about mental health, the more it's like, oh yeah, yeah, I get that. I was like that. I'm sure you're, you're more aware than the most.
Only since doing mental health nursing in my 30s, you know, in my 20s, I was completely, you know, naive to it all. I genuinely thought that I just, you pull yourself together, in inverted commas. I thought, what is going on? It's only then when I realized that I needed a bit of help, like you say, when you realize that that option is open to you and available to you, that you realize, oh, right, you're not supposed to be like this all the time.
Yeah.
And then And then once you come out that other side, that's when you work out your relapse signatures and what makes you go downhill again, but also those coping mechanisms. And obviously, reading your posts and the interviews that you've done, that this does seem to be sort of a bit of both. It's like it feels to me like almost like a regular check-in. Am I still doing okay?
No, yeah. Completely. Yeah, no, that's definitely what it is. And it's sort of, a lot of the time I'll post, not so much what I'm feeling at the time, mm-hmm. but it'll be, you know, when I was at my worst, this is what I was like. And it's sort of like almost like a mini therapy session.
Yeah.
To talk about those feelings I had and, you know, the ones that still resonate and be like, yeah, no, it's the, almost like a mark of improvement that I can go back and, or talk about those things on a public forum.
Absolutely. And absolute kudos to you for doing that as well, because I still see people struggling to who've come out the other side of a mental health crisis being comfortable talking about the fact that they even have mental health problems mm-hmm. in the first place. And for me, it's not the same for everybody. I'm not naive to say that, but for me, making sure that I'm comfortable talking about it is more than half of the battle, because the less I talk about it, the less I want to believe that it's happening at all.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So if I've got it out, whether it's by a podcast or a Facebook post or a tweet or something, anything.
Yeah.
If it's out there, then I'm acknowledging that it exists, and therefore I'm going to do something about it. Or I've done something about it, or I'm taking that kind of, that finger in the air weather reading, how am I doing today, you know, that kind of mm-hmm. thing. And I think the fact that other people are kind of picking up on that and seeing that as their own bellwether and going, oh right, actually, is that where I am, should I mm-hmm. be looking at that, I think it's absolutely brilliant.
Thank you. And yeah, it's great to have seen sort of the post, because it's not people who fully accept that they have mental health issues. But a lot of people just use it to talk about their daily frustrations.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's really great as well.
Mm.
Because it is not talking about those daily things that will lead to the bigger things.
Yeah, because it builds up like a sand, doesn't it? Just catches up with you. So, and does mental health feature in any other sort of toy photography themes, or is this something that you've brought to the table?
I think there's been a couple of times where people have, I know Epic Toy Art, who are an account, they do a lot of features, and there's a lot of toy photographers who discuss emotion and their feelings through their work. But as far as I'm aware, and I may be wrong, I think I run the only sort of mental health focus sort of community project.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, looking at the one we talked about it briefly just before we started, the image you've put on today of which I'll share on the podcast is the mm-hmm. Spider-Man sort of battling. Right, I'm going to show my nerd credentials now. That is Venom, right?
Carnage.
Venom's the black one. Oh, I knew I'd get it wrong. Carnage.
Very similar, bad guy, but yes.
So Spider-Man fighting Carnage, but that image resonated with me hard, because you've got the kind of the juxtaposition between being that person who sometimes can feel invincible, and you can have a really good day and you can get on with things, but then all of a sudden you're faced with this all enveloping behemoth, this monster that just comes at you, and you can't really do anything about it. You just have to sort of deal and accept. Yeah. And when it becomes sort of that whole sort of part of you thing as well, I found that really powerful. And I think that's something that would resonate with a lot of people who listen to the podcast as well. I think it's wonderful. But what I love as well about that image is that the image before that you posted shows a little bit behind the scenes about how you create that kind of image. So can you explain a little bit about how you go about sort of coming up with, do you start with a theme, or do you start with a toy and think, right, where can I go with this? Or do you start with a sort of emotion or a feeling that you want to convey?
A lot of the time, and so with toys in mind project, the way that started was I was feeling really bad one day. Animation work was a bit slow to come in, and I was very aware that I'd probably have to promote myself in some way, which I really hate doing. I'm really terrible going, I'm great at this. Look at my work. So I just, you know, and toy photography had been sort of a thing in my life for about 4 months. I was like, okay, well, there's this huge community of people. You know, maybe I should do some kind of project, something that I can really get my teeth into, something that is more than just, you know, an image. So I came up with this this idea to do something around mental health. And over the next couple of hours talking through it with my girlfriend, you know, we came up with a few hashtags, offered those out to the community and thought, you know, what do you guys think? You know, what should we call this project? And made it very aware that I wanted everyone else to be involved and sort of contribute their images under this hashtag that, you know, convey how they, you know, their experiences and their thoughts upon mental health to start a conversation, essentially. Toy photography has really helped me. It's something that that I sort of go to escape. A lot of the time my work, you know, as much as I love it, you know, my creativity can be hampered by certain briefs or, you know, restrictions. So it's something that I get freedom with, you know, something that I can create.
I was just about to say total freedom. Yeah, that sounds absolutely. It resonates with me a lot because what I use artistically, in the inverted commas, my hobby, my passion is origami, and I will sit in with a flat piece of paper and a set of instructions, and I know that I'm aiming for this, and for that hour or 2 hours or several hours over several days, depending what I'm doing, nothing else. I have to concentrate on that and only that, because if I move something slightly wrong, the end result isn't right. So I have to be completely mindful about what I'm doing. And I get the sense that it's not just the process of sort of setting the figures in the right place and the backgrounds, but it's the whole process leading to the final image that gives you that sense of completion. Is that right?
Oh, completely. So yeah, when I came up with this project, I also came up with this image, and you may have seen it. It's this small Dragon Ball character. You know, wears a little orange sort of karate outfit, and he's just this he's got a giant smile on his face. And it's just like this little sort of beam of light, and I sort of wanted him to be because I very much wanted the project not to be about the negative side of mental illness. I wanted it to be positive. I wanted it to create awareness and generally just, you know, create an open, positive discussion.
Yeah.
So I had this character, and then I've got this other character called K2SO. He's a little droid from the Rogue One Star Wars film. And he's greatly expressive because he doesn't have a smile. He doesn't have a frown, but if you move his head, it creates emotion. It creates... Yeah.
There's that one with the coffee cup you've got, the sad kid kind of one that looks like that. That's brilliant.
And that's sort of the sort of header image of the project is the you know, this little Dragon Ball character coming up to this sad looking robot and just sort of, you know, are you okay? And handing him a cup of tea, and you know, that's the kind of the pure message I wanted to get across. We can talk about this.
And like you say, I think the purity of it, the fact that it's such an innocent medium, it's every kid with a toy has always, you know, fantasized about being the hero and playing with the toys and throwing them through the air and stuff. But by the simple act of putting them in a certain pose, you're giving people an image. For me, certainly, I went, well, that's me, that I do that. And it's a non-threatening way to identify with something powerful, and I think that's incredibly rare nowadays. I think it's a real skill, and I'm just flicking through some of these photos now, at some of the other pictures now, everything from Spider-Man to Star Wars to the little Lego minifigs. How are there any particular toys that you find are better for it conveying those emotions? Do you, or is it scenario based?
Definitely ones that are more articulated. If they've not got an expression on their face, but obviously you can express through posing, that makes it, you know, all the more emotional a lot of the time. Because often an angry scowl or, you know, a I'm going to fight you face doesn't really work.
No.
For all situations.
No, it kind of narrows your scope as well, doesn't it, really?
Yeah. Exactly. So characters like, you know, droids from Star Wars or Spider-Man who, you know, doesn't have a mouth tend to be better for posing and, just making those expressions more lifelike.
So creating the background, some of these backgrounds, I mean, looking at some of the ones, there's some Halo characters and stuff. Mm-hmm. I remember reading, an earlier Instagram entry that you made that you used, was it ginger or something for powdered ginger or powdered cinnamon for sand or something, was it?
Yes, so I had a diorama made, which is a very basic sort of woodland floor. It's got some trees and some rocks and stuff like that, but I was trying to create the sort of the planet from the new Infinity War film. So I needed some things that act like sand, which I don't readily have available. So I was like, okay, well, I'll go to the herb cupboard because, you know, there's some interesting looking powders in there. Ginger looked like sand. So I scattered that around and was like, this smells awful. don't use this amount of ginger on anything. This is horrible. So I spent about 2 hours just trying to air out the room.
Oh no.
And also take these pictures whilst throwing ginger around.
But did the photo come out okay? That's the main
thing. It did. It came out very well. It was done in collaboration with a toy manufacturer and for Exclude Collective. So that was very much outside of my comfort zone of not, you know, getting... Yeah, I couldn't create an emotive picture, but it's been really weird to get briefs for toy photography.
Yeah, and I suppose that, but with you having such sort of total creative control, and obviously with it being your baby sort of thing, opening yourself out to collaboration, I bet that's a bit...
And it's because, you know, obviously not knowing what this whole... Yeah, I didn't know what toy photography was a year ago.
No.
And now to be given projects and things like that, and... Yeah, I think it gives an extra drive to my work, a level that, you know, obviously when I get paid to do animation, I'm putting more into it because there's more of a, you know, not that I want the money, it's more that it's for someone else. So I want to go the extra mile and I want to, you know, make sure someone is happy with it.
Absolutely.
So giving purpose to my work has greatly increased, you know, the quality and scope and learning of what I'm doing.
And talking about the hashtag with toys in mind, just searching on the hashtag on Instagram today, thousands and thousands of photos are coming.
Yeah,
loads of different artists tagging in.
Yeah, so in the last month alone, I think there's been 800 images have been submitted.
Fantastic.
Which is incredible. And you know, when I started this back in July, I don't think I ever anticipated. I thought, you know. It'll be a thing that'll stick around for a few weeks, and like most things, it'll leave people's minds, and you know, just simmer out. And I might bring it back occasionally.
I genuinely think it's something so simple but so powerful can really capture a zeitgeist, can't it? And people can run with it. And I mean, sometimes they burn bright and short, but I think this is something again that's so readily identifiable. I mean, I mean, you can't really see them for all the origami that's listed around, but I have got Star Wars figures around, and you know, I was thinking the other day about, oh, I wonder if I could do this, and it just gets you thinking. But what for me, also being a mental health nurse, I'm always in the back of my mind, I'm always thinking, what is another way for me to use a metaphor, use a simile to try and help people to identify their mental health conditions and feel comfortable talking about them. And if you have to use a third party medium like toys or like art, or, you know, I've done art therapy classes before and they're incredibly powerful. It's just about tapping into the right thing for the right people, isn't it?
Yeah, completely. And for a long while, I wanted to make a documentary film about Lego therapy. Because that's a big thing that's come around in the last few years is people using in therapy sessions Lego to sort of help ease and, you know, just engage parts of their brain that they were sort of locked off. So they'll talk to them whilst they're sort of gently putting bricks together and see how that affects, you know, how they communicate.
That's fascinating. You know, I've never heard of that before. That sounds really interesting. And I can understand kind of why that would be so powerful, because you're kind of regressing back to that kind of abstract, mindful, not thinking, focusing on just the Lego, and then the questions just get answered naturally, don't they? Mm-hmm. I'll definitely be looking into that.
Yeah. And I mean, it's certainly for me the sort of the ability to switch off and then just, you know, focus on, much like you in origami, just focus on a single task.
Yeah.
And sort of coming around to what you asked earlier, sort of how those ideas are formulated. It's more sort of it will be, you know, I want to sort of represent this emotion today, or this is maybe how I'm feeling today, or this is what I want to discuss. And then it'll be, you know, choosing the appropriate figure, or maybe the appropriate figure will sort of pop in and is like, okay, well, this figure is angry and, you know, represents a threat, much like Carnage and Spider-Man, you know, and Spider-Man obviously being Spider-Man is the good. So that kind of posing threats and using them as metaphors for various mental illnesses has worked very well. And I think more important for me is what caption goes with that. Because those types of toy photos exist all throughout the community. But I think the thing that separates sort of the With Toys in Mind project is the captions and the stories people put alongside them.
Yeah.
And that's really important. It's almost that catharsis sort of writing down either the how I'm feeling at the time of the photo or the sort of the point in my life that photo represents.
Yeah. And that's, and that, I suppose that adds another layer as well, because the caption that you put on that photo will resonate with me or somebody else, but then someone else who's seen the photo without necessarily reading the caption may see things slightly differently and go a different way. It's absolutely wonderful. So roughly how long does it take? Does it really depend on the complexity of the kind of motion or the activity that you've got the figures doing? Is it something that takes hours and days or?
Definitely. So it's basically a photo. I mean, it can take from sort of 20 minutes if I'm just doing sort of a simple sort of headshot or portrait. Or, you know, I obsess over lighting, and it was something that was drilled into me when I studied photography in college and then film in university, is lighting setups and how you can bring drama and effects just using simple lighting setups. So I obsess a bit over lighting.
You've seen that on the Carnage, not the Carnage in Spider-Man one, when you've shown the rig next to the picture side by side, you can see how visceral that final image becomes when you've got the lights behind it.
And sometimes the right lighting can present itself almost immediately. Sometimes that's about just moving stuff around until it looks right, or just playing with the camera and getting as many angles as I can. But, you know, things can take anywhere from an hour to 4 or 5 hours, depending on, you know, if I'm using wires to sort of lift characters in the air, or, you know, complex backgrounds and things like that. But a lot of the time it happens organically. So if, you know, I'll take a few shots, if that's not working, I'll move around shots. Maybe I'll throw some effects in there. Because I use quite a lot of practical effects, so water and ginger, and, you know, flour for snow. That's one of my favorite things to do, is if you want snow, just chuck a load of flour.
I'll look forward to the Christmas pictures then. Let's see.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fantastic. So what's next with Toys in Mind? Where do you see this go? Is it just going to be more just seeing which photo comes day to day, or have you got any sort of projects lined up?
I've got a few plans. So next month is going to be, I think, a fairly big month with Toys in Mind. I've got a live chat with the guys at Epic Toy Art, who are having a full month of of mental health sort of interviews every weekend, because in America it's, I believe it's Depression and Suicide Awareness Month. So because I've got, you know, almost half of the toy photography community is American, so I'm going to really sort of push and, you know, for that month. And we've got World Suicide Prevention Day on the 10th next month.
Yeah.
So I'll have a few sort of photography themes based around that. But that'll be more about, you know, sort of asking people to represent what makes life worth living and, you know, what's what brings you joy, rather than focusing. Because the one thing that my first fear with this project was that people are just going to show dead toys.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that.
No,
that's not what it's going to be about. No. And I, you know, push really hard for you know, pictures that are positive, or, you know, ask questions, or, you know.
Yeah. I mean, like the Spider-Man one, it demonstrates a struggle, but it doesn't, it doesn't say that it's unwinnable. It's, it just identifies it as an issue.
Yes.
And it highlights the fact that, that the struggle is real, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Really does.
Yes. I'd rather something be a metaphor rather than something very literally represent suicide. I think that's that would be inappropriate.
Yeah.
Because it's a very delicate subject, and I've, you know, I've stated that quite a few times when posting and sort of talking about the project.
Absolutely. Similarly, when we talk about, you know, sensitive topics on here, we have to be very careful with sort of trigger warnings and things. And
yeah,
it can be, but it's absolutely wonderful. Dan, I'm absolutely over the moon that we could get this chat together. I'm so pleased we got to chat. I'll be plugging the hell out of this, and I know there's plenty of people who are itching to hear the podcast, and toy fans and mental health advocates alike. Dan, thank you so much for your time.
No worries.
To speak again soon. Cheers.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
So that was Dan. I mean, I'm sure you'll agree, what an absolutely fascinating interview. And thanks again for coming on and chatting so openly and so honestly about the process, and about how you can take something so ostensibly available to everybody and turn it into something so visceral and so relatable. And also talking about one's own mental health issues is never easy, even when you know, I talk about it all the time, but I still don't necessarily find it easy every single time. It can be, when you put on the spot, it can be quite hard. So I massively appreciate that. I'd love to hear what other people think about ideas and ventures like this. The fact that people are starting to think outside the box as to how we can address mental health issues and topics and the like is really heartwarming to see that there's this dialogue and this kind of this level of thought going into projects, and the fact that it's being taken up and embraced by so many people is testament to the fact that the conversation is getting somewhere, and I love that. So all the absolute luck in the world to Dan. Go and check out at Tiny Epic Photos on Instagram, or search for the hashtag with toys in mind, and you'll see not only his photos but the photos of people who've embraced that hashtag and started looking at their own toy photography, using that medium to try and get emotions across and actually discuss topics. And as you can see from the Instagram feed, there's weekly and monthly topics to help sort of steer people into maybe thinking about certain issues that affect them. Go and have a look at that. It's wonderful. And if you've got any ideas for other sort of abstract ways of discussing mental health, please do get in touch. You know, I'd love to have a chat with people about different ideas they've had. I know I've got a couple of things lined up for future episodes where people have gone sort of slightly left field, to try and get people to sort of think a bit more laterally about how we address these issues. So, as usual, the email address is podcast@thinkinghabits.co.uk. I am at Thinking Habits on Twitter and on Instagram, and Thinking Habits Podcast on Facebook. So, as I say every week, keep talking, and if you need to talk, you know where we are. Bye.